Jambudvipa. And text number one. Okay, it's not written here, but it's quite an easy text, so we will read it together. Rajovacha. Maharaj Parikshit said, Uktaha, already been said, Tvaya, by you, Bhumandala, of the planetary system, known as Bhumandala, Ayama Vishesha, the specific length of the radius. Yavat, as far as Aditya, the sun. Tapati, heats. Yatra, wherever. Cha, also. Asau, that. Jyotisham, of the luminaries. Ganehi, with hordes. Chandrama, the moon. Va, either. Saha, with. Drishyate, is seen. Okay, so Rajovacha, Uktastvaya Bhumandalaya Ma Vishesha, Yavat Aditya Stapati Yatra, Chaso, Jyotisham, Ganaish Chandrama Vasaha Drishyate. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. King Parikshit said to Shukadeva Goswami, O Brahmana, you have already informed me that the radius of the mandala extends as far as the sun spreads its light and heat, and as far as the moon and all the stars can be seen. Purport. In this verse, it is stated that the planetary system known as Bhumandala extends to the limits of the sunshine. According to modern science, the sunshine reaches Earth from a distance of 93 million miles. If we calculate according to this modern information, 93 million miles can be considered the radius of Bhumandala. In the Gayatri Mantra, we chant Om Bhurbhuvah Svaha. The word Bhur refers to Bhumandala. And Tat Savitur Varenyam, the sunshine spreads throughout Bhumandala. Therefore, the sun is worshipable. The stars, which are known as Nakshatra, are not different suns, as modern astronomers suppose. From Bhagavad Gita 10:21, we understand that the stars are similar to the moon. Nakshatranam aham shashi. Between Eoi monk stars, I am a moon. Like the moon, the stars reflect the sunshine. Just reflect the sunshine. Apart from our modern distinguished estimations of where the planetary system allocated, we can understand that the sky and its various planets were studied long, long before Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled. And Shukadeva Goswami explained the location of the planets, and this indicates that the information was known long, long before Shukadeva Goswami related it to Maharaja Parikshit. The location of the various planetary systems was not unknown to the sages who flourished in the Vedic age. So here we have a few nice topics to discuss. One is our worshipable sun, and another one is the sages who flourished in the Vedic age. And before we'll start our discussion, let me read chapter summary, because this is the first verse of the chapter. And traditionally, we read the summary. So chapter summary, chapter 16, a description of Jambu Dvipa. So today we have our original geography and history class on our original geography and history. So let's try just to throw away whatever you've got from your school and be prepared to take something from Srila Prabhupada. While describing the character of Maharaja Priyavrata and his descendants, Shukadeva Goswami also described Meru Mountain and the planetary system known as Bhumandala. So why Srila Prabhupada start with that point? Because the whole fifth canto, it started with Priyavrata Maharaja and it was made by purpose. And this fifth canto will finish, will end with Jambudvipa, Bhumandala and our planetary systems and our universe description. Why? Because it was Maharaj Priyavrata who divided the whole Bhumandala into parts by the wheel of his chariot, but we will come to that point later. So that's why when Shukadeva Goswami started with a description of Maharaja Priyavrata's deeds, he also described how Maharaj Priyavrata made the Bhumandala divided into the islands. Okay, so before Maharaj Priyavrata, the whole Bhumandala wasn't divided at all. It was just like, let's say, one disc. Okay, so Bhumandala is like a lotus flower. We cannot see that for sure, but this description about Bhumandala is like a lotus flower. It's how our demigods perceive our Bhumandala. It's not our perception, but at least it's demigods' perception. And I'm wondering if how Lord Brahma can see our Bhumandala, because from his point of view, he's sitting on the lotus and all planetary systems are inside the stem of that lotus. So let's say for Lord Brahma, our planetary system is in the stem of the lotus, but from demigod's point of view, the whole Bhumandala is like a lotus flower. And its seven islands are compared to the whorl of that lotus, like whorl is the lotus himself. The place known as Jambudvipa, where we are sitting right now, we are in Jambudvipa. So the place known as Jambudvipa is in the middle of that whorl. Do you have a nice feeling of being in the center of the world, in Jambudvipa? So in Jambudvipa, there is a mountain known as Sumeru, which is made of solid gold. And that solid gold, it's not like our gold, because there are different kind of quality of the gold. The gold which we have right here is the gold which is made of out of semen of the Shiva, mixed with other ingredients. And there is another quality of gold which you can find around Sumeru mountain, and then that that gold is made from the juice of jambu tree, jambu tree. Yes, and but Sumeru mountain made of a solid gold, like highest quality of the gold. Anyway, so Sumeru, which is made of the solid gold. And the height of this mountain is 84,000 yojanas. So how big is that Sumeru mountain? To give you an idea how big is that, I may tell you that the Vedic system of measurement was quite different from ours, and it was really connected to the human life. For example, one of the measurements was from the tip of your thumb Another was between stretches of your hand, of your fingers. And what does it mean, yojana? And okay, let's start with that yojana. It's four kroshas, and one krosha is a distance. Let's say you are sitting here, and if you are healthy enough and you scream and shout, your voice will go out on the some certain distance. And that certain distance, it is said, it's around 3 kilometers if you are healthy enough to scream for 3 kilometers. So the person who is standing 3 kilometers far away from here will hear your scream. So that is one krosha. And one yojana is 4 kroshas. It's around 13 kilometers. And you all, for sure, may imagine how long is that yojana just by remembering your Navadvipa Mandala Parikrama. Because when you are moving, doing Navadvipa Mandala Parikrama, when you are moving from Jagannath Mandir, from Narasimha Pali to Harihara Kshetra, that is one yojana. Or if you are moving from Pratap Nagar to Vidya Nagar, that is one yojana. Or if you are moving from Vidya Nagar through Modadruma Dvip and Jakhno Dvip towards Belpukur, that is one yojana. Just give you an idea what is one yojana means. It's clear now, yeah? That is one yojana. So let's say one yojana is a distance which is quite okay for any child to walk on per day. Okay? And Mount Sumeru is 84,000 yojanas, of which 16,000 yojanas are below the earth. Width is estimated to be 32 yojanas at its summit top and 16 yojanas at its root. So 32 yojanas on the top and 16,000 yojanas at its foot. And it's quite amazing. Usually we think that the earth supports the mountains. But here it is said that the king of mountains, Sumeru Mountain, is the support of the planet Earth. This is our support. Okay, so on the southern side of the land known as Ilavrita Varsha, and Ilavrita Varsha is the central point of Jambudvipa, are the mountains known as Himavan, Himakuta, and Nishada. And that mountains are our closed mountains for us. Like, let's say, if you are looking at the directions of Meru Mountain, the first mountain range will be Himakuta or Himalayas. And the second one will be Hemakuta, and then Nishada Mountains, and then Ilavrita Varsha and Mount Sumeru. Similarly, on the eastern and western side, there are Malayavan and Gandhamadana, the two large mountains. And surrounding Sumeru Mountain are 4 mountains known as Mandara, Meru Mandara, Suparshva, and Kumuda, each 1,000 yojanas long and 1,000 yojanas high. 10,000. Thank you. Thank you, Ginagami Prabhu. So, how long is that and how high is that? 10,000 yojanas. Okay, we are doing one yojana on Navadvipa Mandala Parikrama, and to get the point of 10,000 yojanas, you have to spend, if you are walking every day, you have to spend around 30 years. Okay, 10,000 yojanas long and 10,000 yojanas high. Of these 4 mountains, there are trees 1,100 yojanas high. A manga tree, a rose apple tree, a kadamba tree, and a banyan tree. What does it mean for us? One of these trees, named rose apple tree, Have you ever seen rose apple tree? But it's quite people from Brazil and from Sri Lanka supposed to be quite familiar with that tree, because it's even in India we have it's jambu tree. And jambu tree, it's that's why our island is called Jambudvipa. And jambu tree has, even here in the earth, it has like around 30 meters high, and the trunk is like around almost 1 meter wide. And it has fruits like plums, reddish or purple. And for us, anyway, around Mountain Meru, that jambu tree is quite huge, 1,100 yojanas high. And that's how this juice is coming out of the jambu fruits and mixing with air and mixing with earth. That's how this gold comes from juice of the jambu tree. And all demigods, they use this gold to make their jewelries. It's high quality gold. And there are also lakes full of milk, honey, sugarcane juice, and pure water. These lakes can fulfill all desires. All desires can be fulfilled by these lakes. There are also gardens, and on the side of Suparshva mountain is a kadamba tree. So we have jambu tree in our side of the Mount Meru, but there is kadamba tree. And that kadamba tree with streams of honey flowing from its hollows. And on Kumuda mountain there is a banyana tree named Shatavalsha, from whose roots flow rivers containing milk, yogurt, and many other desirable things. I guess for us, it's like Rama Devi who is giving us all yogurt. So here so this is banyan tree, which support us with rivers, milk, yogurt, and many other desirable things. And surrounding Sumeru Mountain, like filaments of the world of the lotus, are 20 mountain ranges such as Kuranga, Kurara, Kusumba, Vaikanka, and Trikuta. To the east of the Sumeru are the mountains Jethara and Devakuta. To the west are Pavana and Pariyatra. To the south are Kailasha and Karavira. And to the north are Trishringa and Makara. These eight mountains are about 18,000 yojanas long, 2,000 yojanas wide, and 2,000 yojanas high. On the summit of Mount Meru is Brahmapuri, the residence of Lord Brahma. Each of its four sides is 10,000 yojanas long. Surrounding Brahmapuri are the cities of King Indra and seven other demigods. These cities are one-fourth the size of Brahmapuri. And speaking about Brahmapuri, which is situated in the Meru Mountain, on the southern side of Mountain Meru, we have one city, which is of one demigod, which is closest city for us. And Lord Yamaraja is sitting there. It's his residence. So if you will look at the south, towards Mountain Meru, that will be his city. And if you will turn and there like 180 degrees, so, and we will look on the north, there also will be the residence of Yamaraja. But another residence, which is situated in the Manasotara Mountain. And Manasotara Mountain is the mountains for the sun god the sun god is going around Manasotara mountains. That is his daily work. So about the sun god, this is one of our topics today. The sun, the right eye of the Lord, which is 14 times bigger than the earth. And the same sign was seen by Mother Yashoda when she looked inside the mouth of her beloved Krishna. And the same sun which gives us now the warmth and the heat, which gives us the hope and energy to live, the same sun will become 12 times stronger in the time of devastation. And the same sun will heat everything around, evaporate all water around, and kill everyone. That is the time of devastation. But right now, we can see that sun supports us, and it makes us able to see everything around. It's not only heat, but it's also light for us. And there are many names of the sun given in the Shastra. And one we know quite well is Savitri, the nourisher, one who nourishes us. And another one is Vivasvat, because we know him as Vivasvan, yeah? So Vivasvat means the brilliant one. And we have Bhaskara, one who gives us a light. And another name of the sun is Dinakara. So it's like one who makes our days. And another, Arhapati, Lord of the day, O Loka Chakshu, eye of the world. And this is the sun which is called Karma Sakshi. Sakshi means witness, and karma, our deeds. So he witnesses all our deeds. And we know the sun as Graha Raja, or the king Raja of all luminaries. Another interesting name of the sun, well, maybe Gabhastiman, possessed of rays. So this sun is worshipable, says Srila Prabhupada in his commentary. And we have many clocks in our temple, and every clock surprisingly gives us different time, but it's not the same with the sun. The sun also very specific and particular and precise. It coming up and coming down at the time directly prescribed by the Lord. So in this case, the sun gives us a sense of the Lord's will. So we are greeting the sun, chanting our Gayatri on the morning, and we are following the sun, chanting our Gayatri in the noon and evening time when sun comes down. And we can see that sun controls us. This is our controller, and that power suns get from the Lord. And talking about Priyavrata, because Priyavrata also mentioned in our today's verse. So speaking about Priyavrata, he also very much connected to the sun story, because it seems like at the time of Priyavrata, the days and nights were similar in length. So like say 12 hours night, 12 hours days. And Priyavrata wasn't happy about that. And why? Because he wanted his subjects, let's say, he was depressed by that, and he decided to go to follow the sun and shine instead of sun. So the sun is coming around, and Priyavrata was coming around our Bhumandala. But he didn't want to compete with the sun. He just wanted to make his subjects happy. And when he wanted to increase the day, he slowed down his chariot. And when he wanted to decrease the day, he speed up his chariot. So we may say, wait a second, we already have one son, and it's hot enough, and we don't want to have another son, because what happened that day, there was a sun and there was a day. But then Priyavrata comes on his chariot and there is another day instead of night. And for us, it would be just devastation, because we already heated up enough by the sun. We don't want another sun during our night. But what Priyavrata did, his sun was, during the summertime, his sun was cooler than the moon. And during the winter time, his sun was warmer than real sun. So it seems like he corrected a little bit seasons and effects of the seasons. It's because of Priyavrata Maharaja we have Jambudvipa now, because when he was following the sun, he had seven chariots, one bigger than the another one, like seven chariots, and which one, and every next one is bigger than the previous one. Seven chariots, and there is only one wheel. And you may ask how he could ride the chariot with one wheel, just because of his mystic yoga power. And the wheel of his chariot also was broader, broader, and broader, and broader. Seven wheels. That's how we have now oceans around the Jambudvip and all other islands. And that oceans, which is closer to us, is the ocean of the salt water. And our neighbors from the other side of the ocean, on the Plakshadvipa, they worship the sun the whole life. And after the death, after departure, they go directly to the sun planet. That is about the sun and Jambudvipa. Okay, going back to Jambudvipa. We are on Bharatavarsha right now, and it doesn't matter how you define Bharatavarsha. If you define it as a South Asia, anyway, or you, if you define it as a planet Earth, in like the whole planet Earth, doesn't matter how you define Bharatavarsha. But if you are sitting right now in Mayapur, you can be sure that you are sitting in Bharatavarsha. And as Antardvip Prabhu said once on his seminar on cosmic or Vedic astrology, he said, anytime you look up, you look at the heaven planets. Anytime you look down, you look towards low planets. So this is our geography. And we already mentioned our neighbors from the other side of the ocean of the salt water, which are inhabitants of Plakshadvipa, who are worshipping the sun. But we have another neighbors behind Himakuta Mountains. We have Kim Purushavarsha. And in Kim Purushavarsha, we have Hanuman, who is always worshipping Lord Ramachandra. And their neighbors in Harivarsha, closer to Mount Meru, in Harivarsha they always worship Prahlad, is always worshipping Lord Nrisimhadev. So next week we are going to celebrate Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance day, but Prahlada Maharaj worships him every day, right now, just like say one Varsha next. One Varsha next. Okay, we don't have much time. So our verse today was dedicated to the sun and to Jambudvipa and Priyavrata Maharaj. And also it is said here about the sages who flourished in the Vedic age. And we are going to mention one sage today, because today is Jagannath Saptami. We are going to mention one sage today, and he's Jahnamuni. And before we will go to that story about Jahnamuni, let me just give you an idea about the time. How much time it's already gone from that time when Maharaj Pariyavrata was here on the earth, and Jahnamuni came, and we are here now. So how much time it might be? Let's consider the day of Brahma divided in two parts. And it is said in our scripture that half of the day is night and half of the day is day. So it's like 12 hours and 12 hours. And today we have Shveta Varaha Kalpa day of Lord Brahma. He's 50 today, and he is. This is the first day of the first month of the second part of his life. And his day is divided in 14 part, because every day he has 14 mano. So let's say if 24 hours, we will divide in two parts, the 12 hours will be night and 12 hours a day. So this day, let's say from 6 to 6, 6 morning till 6 evening, this is Shveta Varaha Kalpa day of Brahma. So according to Brahma time perception, Priyavrata came when it was approximately 6:40 morning time. And then Nrisimha Dev, by the way, he came during the Chakrusha Manu reign, and that was around 10:30, 10:40, something like that. And then if we are going to talk about Jahnamuni, and Jahnamuni is really connected for us with the story of Ganges, and Ganges came just because Lord Vamanadev stepped on his right foot, and with the toe of his left foot he pierced the cover of the universe, and few drops of Karana ocean fall down, few drops. So when did that happen? And we know that Vamanadev, he comes three times during the day of Brahma, and two times he comes during Vaivasvata Manu days. And the Vaivasvata Manu is, by the way, he's a son of God. He's a son of the sun god, as well as Yamaraja also, and as well as Yamuna Devi also. And so Vaivasvata Manu is the sun god's son, and he came when Brahma, Brahma's watch, he had 11:10. So Vaivasvata Manu started to reign at 11:10, and Ikshvaku was the first king. He was the son of Vaivasvata Manu. So he started to be a king approximately at the same time, and then Vamana came, and that was around 11:13. So Vamana came, and we have few drops of Karana ocean floating here nearby us. So how did that happen? Where did they gone from the hole? So these few drops of Karana ocean fell into the head of Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva was keeping that few drops of Karana ocean water for at least one millennium. Then it came down to the Dhruva Loka, and then to Saptarishi planets, and then by celestial airplanes, Ganges came to the moon and flooded the moon completely, and then she fell down to Mount Meru, and there she was divided in four parts, and our part, which is flowing here, is Alakananda Ganga. Anyway, Bhagirathi wanted the Ganges come here, and why? Because one time, and that was around 11:15. Something around 11:15 by Brahma watch. So there was one descendant from the same Ikshvaku dynasty, and he His name was Sagara. Sagara means one who came with poison. Why he came with poison? Because the wives, co-wives of his mother, of his father, wanted to kill him in the womb of his mother. Very nice story, but it's a different one. We are not going to stop there. Anyway, so he came and his name was Sagara, and he, of course, he wanted to do Ashwamedha sacrifices. And as soon as he finished 99th Ashwamedha sacrifice, of course, Indra stole his horse. Of course. And 60,000 Sagara's son went to search that horse. And what they were doing, when they couldn't find the horse, they started to dig the earth to find the horse somewhere down. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that by digging the earth, they made boundaries of the ocean. They increased the boundaries of the ocean. That's why ocean is called Sagara. One of the versions why it's called Sagara. So they not only created these boundaries high, but they dug 8 small islands as an addition to Jambudvipa, our Jambudvipa. And finally, they met Kapila Muni, and just as soon as they saw him, and as soon as they saw the horse staying nearby, immediately they decided that this is Kapila Muni who stole the horse. So they shouted, "This is a sinful person, kill him, kill him." And what happened? Well, looks almost like suicide, because nobody killed these 60,000 sons of Sagara Maharaj. But what happened, because they offended Kapila Muni, the fire who was inside their bodies burned up and burned to ashes their bodies. And their sons and their grandsons was trying to somehow to help them to get heavenly planets, but it didn't happen until Bhagirath came and doing severe austerities satisfied Lord Brahma and asked Ganga to come here, because here means nearby Kapila ashram, Kapila Muni ashram, which is not far from here. Okay, so Bhagirath, he came here, and he was riding his chariot, and Ganges were following his chariot. So, and here Jahnamuni is sitting with his Achaman cup. And for sure, the Ganges just take his Achaman cup away. But there is another version of the same story, actually. Because Jahnamuni, not only known as a Muni, he's known as a king also. And another option, another version of the story is that he was a king who was doing his many, many, many sacrifices. And that was his sacrificial arena, which were flooded by Ganges. And he wasn't happy about that. He became angry. So anyway, even if it's Achaman cup, even if it's sacrificial arena, anyway, we have now Ganges right here. Why? Because first of all, Jahnamuni swallowed the Ganges, and then, being pleased by the prayers of demigods and Bhagiratha Maharajas, he released the Ganga from his right ear. Sometimes it is said that he released the Ganges from his knee, but I guess it's some kind of misunderstanding, because some devotees say that he released the Ganges from his knee, because the knee on Sanskrit is jahnu. But this is not the case, actually. The knee on Sanskrit is janu, not jahnu. So I guess he released the Ganges exactly from his right ear, as it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, so Ganges are here, and we are here, and we are in Bharata Varsha, and we know our neighbors, Hanuman from one side, and inhabitants of Lakshadvipa from another side, and what else? And we have sun all the day around, who witnesses our deeds, and talking about history and geography. Yes, so that happens at Ganges came around 11:15 of Brahma watch, and we are here now around 11:20. It's midday for Brahma, and this is a morning time for us, and this is time for breakfast for us. So I will finish here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Sri Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Any comments or questions? Yes. We have a mic here.
Hare Krishna. I just want to know how the stars reflect the sun. You can't hear? I just want to know how the stars reflect the sun. It said that the stars are reflecting the sun, but they're there all the time. Not even the moon reflects the sun all the time.
I can't hear you. Maybe you may just pick up. So how the moon can reflect the sun, or what was the question? How the stars can reflect the sun all the time. Yeah, so the moon and the stars, they're always shining because they reflect the sunlight. But it's, you see, for us, sun is going around Manasotara mountain. So sometimes we can see the sun and sometimes we cannot. But it's not the same for the stars and for the moon as well. And by the way, talking about the sun, we can see the sun only half of our day, but even if we go to the, not really high, but only to the point of the top of the Sumeru mountain, they can perceive the sun all the 24 hours. It's always the sun there in the Brahmapura, always warm and nice. Maybe Antardvip Prabhu would like to add something to that point.
Raksha, you gave a nice summary. Thank you. I'm little attached to hearing the translation and the purport. I'm not sure if you read it. Did you read it?
Yeah, we read it, and that was 8:10 till 8:15.
7:10 to 7.
Oh, sorry, 7:10 to 7:15.
Okay. Thank you, sorry.
Thank you. Lakshmi Prim, could you please give her mic?
Thank you very much. I want to understand what's the relationship with Bhumandana and Jampudvipa. And how to understand about Bhumandana, Sumeru. Sumeru, how to understand the Sumeru support the earth?
Yeah, this is a nice question. So the first question was, what is the difference between Jambudvipa and Bhumandala, or?
I don't know. It's a person, I want to understand what's the relationship.
Relationship.
Yes, the Bhumandana and the Jambudvipa.
Yes, okay. Thank you for the question. Because this is the question from our own geography and history. It's not like, you know, only theoretical questions, very practical one. So Jambudvipa is the center of Bhumandala. And Bhumandala, we can measure Bhumandala by saying that whenever sun shine, that is our Bhumandala. And whenever we can, or wherever we can see moon and stars, that is our Bhumandala. At least it is said in the our text. Bhumandala extends as far as the sun spreads. its light and heat, and as far as the moon and all the stars can be seen. So Jambudvipa is the central island of the Bhumandala.
So means there have many, many planets. But in the heavenly planet.
Yes, Bhumandala, it's a seven islands, starting with Jambudvipa, then Plashkadvipa and Kushadvipa and so on. Islands which are divided by the ocean of salt water and ocean of shuriken juice and liquor and clarified butter and then milk and yogurt and drinking water. So this is Bhumandala, and we have our stars and sun and moon higher, higher and higher, and let's say Saptarishis and Dhruvaloka. So Bhumandala is the horizontal perspective, and vertical is sun, moon, stars, and all planets and heavenly planets, by the way. And as Antardvipa Prabhu said once, so you may find heavenly planets, just look up at the stars. So that's how you can find heavenly planets. And whenever you look down into the earth, you are looking towards these low planets, low planetary systems. It's one of their description or explanation. Thank you. And Prabhupada Priya Mataji, I think this is the last one, yeah?
Hare Krishna. When you were describing how Priyavrata Maharaj wanted to extend the daylight hours, I was thinking, to me that seems like falling in the category of prayasash, over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain.
Yeah, that was my perception. I was wondering, was he humble enough to rule the planet, to compete with the sun? But Srila Prabhupada says that he did it not to compete the sun. So it's not about prayas. You see, it seems like before he came, we had 12 hours day and 12 hours night. So he changed the situation, and he did it by the will of the Lord. And he divided all islands here on Bhumandala by his chariot, following the sun. It was kind of plan of the Lord. So he did a great job. It wasn't prayas. It helped us now. It helps us right now to be conscious of our insignificance, because we cannot do the same at of course. And life around and the earth around became more varieties now, because the inhabitants of every island, they are different, and they worship the different demigods. And I don't think it's prayas category, yeah? So the great job was done just to make our days longer and to make our life more variable, and just to satisfy the Lord and his subjects, Prayavrata subjects. You know? Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Thank you. Hare Krishna.